always tell the guy behind the counter, like, I'm not looking at titties, I promise. I'm looking at me. It's like, you know, maybe a little.
My goodness, for all of you true tattoo artists out there, just true lovers of our craft from past, present, and the future, today's episode is definitely one you're going to just soak up and eat up. And we get 30 years of a wealth of knowledge from our brother Joshua Carlton and stories of the journey that I guarantee you can relate to and become inspired and apply into your own journey of getting from where you are to where you've always dreamt of becoming. We cover even the differences between styles and realism, what Joshua's now known for, what he really loves. We cover talking traditional, all of this and more. Today's episode is for all of you guys who just geek out on history, process, procedure, the journey of identity, and more. Tune in. This is a good one. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Tattoo Guardians podcast. I'm one of your three hosts, Mr. Matt Clemmer, sitting here with my good brother, Mr. Joshua Carlton. How are you today, brother?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed, man.
It's good to be back. Good to be back, yeah, for sure.
No kidding. I guarantee our audience is like, hell yeah, Josh is back.
Nice.
Oh, and for those of you, you can't see him, but we've got our good brother, Mike, running the background, doing the beats for us. But yeah. And so we decided to mic up. We put a mic on Mike in case he chimes
What's
in
up,
today.
Guys?
So Mike, thank you for joining us. And our brother Hip is out painting the streets in love, doing something beautiful and magical. He's actually in the middle of a 2-day marathon.
Nice.
So yeah. And Josh and I talked to you all and just wanted to just start pouring our hearts out about this journey, first the human experience, and be just right. finding ourselves as an artist and our footing in life, and obviously how everything's connected and coincides with being a tattooer as well. Is that right, Josh? Kind of what we're
absolutely. You know, have you ever dug up like an old box from your garage and maybe found like an old letter you wrote to somebody that you didn't send, or or even just something back and forth between people, and you read it from, you know, 15 years ago, and you're just like, wow, I can't even imagine who I was when I said those things because I'm so not that person anymore, you know?
Man.
And I think I'm kind of fascinated by stuff like that. I'm fascinated with nature versus nurture, you know what I mean? Mm. Like the natural way that we progress as humans and, you know, what our goals are and what we can achieve. And yeah. I just think it's fascinating to look back on the artist that you used to be versus the artist that you are now and the artist that you want to become, you know. Does that make sense to you? Is that, you know, like...
It sure does.
You know, like priorities change and influences change and just, you know, I've been tattooing for 30 years and I just, you know, I posted a picture of myself when I was 16 years old today on Facebook, and that's when I started tattooing. I was 16 years old in a biker shop and the whole world was ahead of me, and I never in a million years thought I'd be, you know, any kind of artist that anybody really cared about, much less talking to people on a podcast about it. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I just think it's interesting to kind of look at that journey. You know what I mean? Because kind of just see where we've been and where we're headed. And
man, dude,
I don't know. It's just one of those weird things that just fascinates me.
Love it, dude. And you mentioned, you know, you're 16. So at that time, you didn't realize that you were going to become like world renowned, right?
No idea. I was just, you know, it was a good indication of the kind of person that I would become. I become laser focused. If I'm into something, look the fuck out. Like if I'm into it, I am into it. And I would buy everything. I remember I would walk to this gas station because they had tattoo magazines, and like, you know, of course they had them in like the porn section. I had to like always tell the guy behind the counter, like, I'm not looking at titties, I promise. I'm looking at me. It's like, you know, maybe a little, you know.
Yeah, right. Those hustlers, but, for sure.
Right, exactly.
Playboy wasn't much but a hustler now. It might show you something.
Right, exactly. But I would peruse through the magazines, and to be honest with you, even if the tattoos were garbage, I'd still buy it. I'd just buy it to like it was a tangible thing about maybe there's some little morsel of information in here that will help me understand. Because I wasn't an apprentice. I did an apprentice. I did it the wrong way. Mm. Now, I will say that the town that I lived in, Corvallis, Oregon, there was no tattoo shop. I couldn't even try to get a job. They just didn't exist. No tattoo shops existed. Mm. So I had to do it completely on my own. I remember somebody telling me to use speed stick to put my stencils on. And I'm like, you're out of your fucking mind. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing to me? You know? Mm. So I would buy these magazines or books or anything I could to just get any information. Yeah. And just looking back at this lost kid that I was to the artist that I am today. And even though I've established myself and I have a name for myself, I'm still learning things on the daily. You know what I mean? God. And I think that's important to understand. And we've said this in the past, but you know, the path is the journey. You know what I mean? You want to, there's not really, I'm not going to reach a goal that I set out when I was 16 and looking at those magazines. Like, I'm happy to be where I'm at. I'm happy to be in that echelon of artists, you know, but it's really the journey, the path to said journey, you know.
Dude, one of my old mentors used to say, man, I am satisfied with a dissatisfied satisfaction.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I think that, you know, I always knew if I just put my head down and did the best work I could possibly do, like, I'll probably be all right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you're doing better work than those around you, then you'll probably be all right. And like I said, there wasn't a tattoo shop in my town. Yeah. So it was real easy for me to sneak my friends into my window and tattoo them in my bedroom when my parents were taking a nap. You know what I mean? So I didn't really have too much competition. In fact, when I posted that picture of me at 16, several people that I tattooed when they were about 16 were like, hey, that's when I got my first tattoo in your apartment and all this stuff. And it's just like, oh, shit. So, you know, I don't encourage people to learn the wrong way. I just did whatever I had to do at the time. Now the whole world has changed. I mean, there was no internet. Yeah. There was no, you know, you could only order machines out of the back of a magazine, and who knows if they were going to fucking rip you off. Mm. So I couldn't really imagine, you know, you said that you hired a new person for your studio recently.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that world must be like to just be starting out. Like, even with Matt, like, you're starting out with the pandemic. Like, you start out tattooing in a mask. You start out with all this hype and this fear. It's just it's a completely different world. You know, we are literally in the future.
Dude, you're so right, man. Now, for most of us, most of our viewers, most of our listeners, most of us, I'd say, safe to say, don't know the Josh Carlton from 30 years ago. And a lot of us, unless they've been in the game a while and was a part of seeing you come up, most of us just know Joshua Carlton as the fucking god that he is now. You know what I'm saying? For real. And so you said 30 years. So at what point, you know, do you feel like, you know, you started to come up or actually get decent enough to where you had respect? You know, was it your first 5 years and the last 25 you've been kicking ass, even though we're still growing? Or
it's a really good question.
Yeah.
It's hard to pinpoint an exact time.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm trying to think of, like, you know, I remember the very first magazine article I got in Tattoo Magazine. They actually did a full feature on me. I think I'd had like a few pictures, you know, because back in the day, what you would do, and I'm sure you remember this, you know, there was no internet, no Instagram or anything like that. So you would take, you know, 100 actual photos with a film camera and just keep your fingers crossed that when you went and got them done at 1 hour photo, that one of those pictures was good enough.
Right.
And they were all crappy and yellow, but so was everybody else's pictures. You know what I mean? And then you get 10 or 15 of your best photos and you send them to the tattoo magazines. And what you can only find, like, in the back of tattoo magazines, you have to really look for the address. They don't really make it real prominent. And then, if you're lucky, in like 6 months, they'll start showing up in a few magazines, you know, and by then, you know, if you're a fast learner, your work is kind of old. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's just so nice to get your work in these magazines. And I remember reading early on, don't send the same photos to different magazines, because if Tattoo Magazine and then, you know, Tattoo Master Magazine, which actually didn't exist then, I'm trying to think Tattoo Review, if they both publish the work, in the future, they're going to be like, well, fuck that guy. We're not going to work with him because he's just whoring out to everybody. So I was super careful with that. And like later on, I realized I should have actually been sending it to as many magazines as possible, you know? But I remember those days of just, I go to the bookstore and just like please. And I would see a picture of one of my tattoos and I would open up all the tattoo magazines that had it and leave them open on the bookshelves.
Come on.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know?
But I think for me, I guess maybe when I started getting like a little bit of notoriety was when I finally had a full 6 or 7 page article on my work. I remember, it was me and Jeff Gogway. And it called us Young Guns. And it was like Young Guns, you know what I mean?
Come
the people on. who put art and tattoo artists, you know what I mean? And so
dude, I have a funny story. Fucking powerful.
Yeah, it was amazing. I have a funny story about Jeff too, because I didn't know. Okay, so I was at a tattoo convention called, it was on the Queen Mary. I was on the ship, you know what I mean? It didn't go anywhere. It had been docked there forever. Supposedly it's haunted and all this stuff. But they used to have this amazing tattoo convention there. And there was a lot of European artists there, a lot. And so it was like 3 floors. So I'm walking around just blown away by seeing, you know, artwork from Stefan and, you know, Bugs and all these people from other countries. And this is the first time I stumbled upon Jeff Gogway. Well, they had put him in with all of these other European artists and his name, you know, G-O-G-U-E, you know what I mean? The way it's spelled and everything. I just assumed that he was not American.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I have this horrible ability where when I talk to people, I develop some kind of weird accent that like doesn't make any sense. It's like a hodgepodge of 6 accents together. So I was like flipping through his portfolio and I'm like, you are very good. You know, it's like, like a fucking dipshit, you know, and he's like, thanks. And I'm like, where are you from? Thinking he's from, you know, and he's like, Oregon. <It's>
like, you know? Yes.
So that was an interesting introduction. But like I said, we were both in this magazine. It may have been Jeff's first article as well. I don't know if that's a fact, but we were definitely early on. Mm. And I would love if any of our listeners happen to have that magazine, I will give you $100 for it. I would happily pay you for it because I would so love to have that magazine. I think it's I think it's Tattoo Review. But it's got both of our names on the cover. Yeah, called us Young Guns. So I guess that's when I started getting some notoriety. And like if I applied to work at a convention, I got a yes a lot faster after
of
that.
Course.
Stuff like that, you know. And
now
then eventually.
When that came out, was you doing realism yet? What was your style that got you in there?
So I was definitely leaning towards realism, but it's weird because people always assume that I had this real painterly style, but to be straight honest with you, looking back, it was laziness.
Mm.
So, you know, I think what some people thought was like, man, I love how you didn't finish that top of the head. And I'd be like, yeah, I was tired.
Oh, damn. Instead you of know, loose. This ain't right. loose. This is just, I said, fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I think over the years, I embraced that and did develop into something pretty neat. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
I did.
I got known for like, you know, people would say like, I can tell it's your tattoo immediately.
Yeah.
And those are little things that helped me a lot. Like I have a color deficiency. I'm not fully colorblind, which we talked about in the past, but I'll throw a random, you know, green highlight on your grandmother's portrait. And it's like, wow, how do you do that? You know, and because I see the value of the green more than I see the intensity of the green, it makes sense to me.
Yeah. You know what I mean? There's always been like almost, I've always heard that you were colorblind. Is that true?
Yeah, it's a form of colorblindness. I think the reason I say I'm not fully colorblind is a lot of people misunderstand what colorblind is and think that I see in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. Okay. I definitely see in a much more subdued, like if I cover one eye, I think I see fairly normal. But the other eye, as soon as I uncover it, everything goes down, like a full spectrum down. So I don't see like a lot of really bright colors. I don't see a lot of intensity, but I see the value of everything. You know what I mean? So I'm a total heart.
What color is the sweatshirt am I wearing?
It's like, I know it's in the yellow family.
Okay.
But is it mustard right. kind of color?
You're right. Yeah. It's in the yellow family for real. Yeah. And I'd say mustard, but it's bright. Yeah. It's bright, I think.
Yeah. See, to me, it looks very dull. Like it's just a little yellow.
Got you. Know you. What I mean? That's
so
awesome.
I think. So I wouldn't change that. That's what gave me my career. You know what I mean? I wouldn't change that. And I know I see things different than other people, but it allowed me to like put color into tattoos that other people maybe wouldn't think of. And it kind of gave it that, like, I noticed that people would be like more wowed by that than me making it, you know, perfect. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I kind of started following that and it got me to be like, you know, oh, you're a true artist. You know what I mean? Like I love all kinds of tattooing, and I love traditional tattooing. I'm a very old soul at heart, so like I like to collect antiques and stuff. So I could have seen me going in the direction of like a really traditional tattoo artist. You know what I mean? So I just happened to almost stumble upon this style.
You know what I mean?
So I guess long story short, that's when I started getting a little bit known. In fact, it was cool because the very convention that I met Jeff Goguet at eventually became where I taught my very first seminar. You know, they invited me back, and I actually taught my very first seminar in the boiler room of the ship.
Dude.
So I was so terrified. I was so terrified that nobody was going to show up. I'm like, man, if one person shows up, I'd rather cancel it. But if two people show up, I'll be all right. And there was like, you know, a full room. I couldn't believe. I remember walking to it, and there was a line. And I'm like, what are you guys waiting for? And they're like, you. And I was like, holy shit. This is crazy. You know who I am? This is fucking crazy, you know?
Jeez, dude.
But that's also when I discovered my love for sharing information. I think because I did it on my own,
yeah,
I was so like, you know what? Like, I want to share this information. And I always tried to like tell people, like, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you this is the right way. This is just a way that currently works for me. You know what I mean? Like,
you're always so authentic and keep it 100, which allows us to learn from you even more.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like, you know, maybe here's the thing. There's such subtle nuance in tattooing. I mean, think about it. Even the size of someone's hands, right, is going to make them hold the tattoo machine a little different. So if I tell you, hey, brother, get this machine, put it at 5.5 volts, put your needle out exactly this much, use these pigments, you're not going to just automatically get the same exact thing. What you might push a tiny bit harder or stretch a little tighter, and the client's skin is a little different. So, you know, I might tell you something that's amazing, and then you're like, I can't wait to try it, and then you just can't get it.
Yeah.
And that's okay, because that's happened to me multiple times. Like, you've heard me in the past talk about my obsession with the tattoo artist Dimitri Samoin, or Samoin, however you say it, from, you know, from the Ukraine. And, you know, I tried for years to recreate what he was using. I bought videos. I would search the internet for the littlest tidbit of somebody else. Maybe somebody got tattooed by him and they filmed him for 2 minutes. I'd zoom in on it and I would obsess over it. And he did everything with 7 round shaders and a dragonfly tattoo machine. Wow. And no matter what I did, I could not make that color look the way his, it just didn't work with my hand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And at some point I had to realize, you know, I feel like I'm repeating myself a little bit, but like, you know, at some point, okay, Josh, you got to be the best Joshua Carlton and not the second best Dimitri, you know? And I think that became the journey of, like, we kind of started this whole thing of starting to find out who I am as a person, as an artist, you know?
Yeah. You know, another cool thing about like you and Jeff coming out in the same, you know, magazine. And whoever wrote that, they almost like prophetically knew it. What's cool is like, you know, because I think of like bands that are like 2 one-hit wonders that were hot as fuck on the charts. But then we don't know who they are 6 months, a year later. But you guys, it's kind of like it, you know, if for all you hip hop fans, it's like if Jay-Z and Nas, no one knew who they were.
Right.
Came out in the same magazine. These are the new young guns coming up. Well, everyone still knows who Jay-Z, everyone still knows who Joshua Carlton and Jeff Goldway are.
Yeah.
Which is even more powerful that you guys weren't one hit wonders, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Cause we certainly could have been, you know, speaking of finding your true self, I think Jeff is a really good example. If you do find that magazine, because, or even if you just remember, but Jeff was like the realism guy, you know, he was incredible at Black and Gray. I mean, still of course is, but he was doing portraits and all kinds of different things. I remember calling him on the phone and he used to tell me that his mantra was, if he kind of got caught up in a tattoo of not sure what to do, he'd say, what would Robert Hernandez do? You know, and he would try to do that. And if you know, as you know, Jeff is one of the best Japanese tattoo artists in the world.
Totally.
So at some point, he literally said, I have people flying from other countries to get portraits from me. I am the top portrait tattooer in the world. I'm going to throw it all away to do what my heart really wants. You know what I mean?
Wow.
That's powerful. That is so powerful. You know, he went to Japan and got an entire back piece, you know, from Shige. And I would have probably done the same thing. When you're immersed into that culture and you can really study under a true master, I mean, I couldn't even imagine the power that that had. I'm sure he laid there at night thinking, I really want to do this for real, but I have this entire career built up and how do I do this? And, you know, he took that chance and because he's a great guy and an incredible artist, you know, he has earned that spot. And Jeff's a really amazing person, not only as an artist, but as an amazing person to follow and kind of watch that same thing. Because I think it's been probably close to 30 years for him as well. Yeah. He's been in the game, you know, he's steered the ship, you know?
Dude. Powerful, man. That, what a great example. I actually took one of his seminars in London, you know, many years ago. I think you were there too at the London Tattoo Convention. I can't remember.
Isn't that amazing, like how we can say that so loosely? Well, this one time I woke up in Italy. We as tattoo artists, we have this incredible ability. Like, obviously, COVID changes things. I apologize for interrupting you, by the way.
No.
But, you know, if I decided that I wanted to up and move my family to France, I can do that. Like, that's my mom worked for the telephone company, and I remember she would have to put in a transfer, and they'd come back and say, we could transfer you to Florida, we could transfer you to Indiana, like, or Oregon. That's actually how I ended up in Oregon to begin with. And she had to wait and basically go where they could just transfer her. Like, you know, you can open an aisle 9 in Germany next week.
Yep.
You'd be just fine. You'd be just fine. And that's amazing.
It really is.
Yeah. Whenever I teach my seminars, I'm constantly, you know, I in the beginning, I used to feel like I needed to remind artists that they have the best job in the world. But I noticed that I'll be like, brother, you've got the best job in the world. They light up. They're like, I know. I know I do. It's like we are so – it's like, you know, we celebrate it every day. Like we do have, in my opinion, the best job in the world, you know.
Yeah.
We're not saving lives, you know what I mean? But we are impacting lives.
That's it.
We get to do what we truly, truly love, and we get to make somebody's day when we give them what we truly love, you know.
Man, you're right. I've said it to my wife for years. We're blessed. We could put a world map. You could blindfold me and give me a dart, and we could throw it. And take wherever we hit, we could go and make it happen.
Yeah, it's like the safety net of that is overwhelming. And, you know, Nikki and I both suffer a little bit from survivor's guilt, and if we have a really good financial month or something, we'll be like, "Do you realize we brought this in this month?" And she's like, "I just feel it gives me a weird feeling." And I said, "I know, I understand that, but we earned it. We worked really hard. You know, we had integrity. We did the right thing. We were good business people, but." You know, people are struggling, you know, people are struggling, and COVID has taken a lot of people out, and it's also shut down a lot of businesses, good restaurants and stuff.
Yeah.
But tattooing seems to thrive.
Yeah.
You know, tattooing seems to be the cockroach of some stuff. It's just no matter what, you know,
that's right.
I remember when Katrina happened, you know what I mean? That they said that everything was just a mess, but tattoo shops were going crazy because people got some stimulus money and they were getting, I survived Katrina, and all these tattoo artists were having guest artists come out to this flooded, you know, everything was flooded and ruined, and they were tattooing their asses off.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, you know, not to keep talking about it, but it is still amazing. And after 30 years, as long as I can do it, as long as I can hold my machines, I'll take I'll take another 30, you know?
Man, come on. That's awesome. That's freaking awesome. So, do you remember roughly when that magazine hit? How many years in were you by then, roughly?
I probably was under 10 years, probably seven or 8 years, I'm going to guess, you know.
That's huge.
I knew I was, it's weird. I was decent right away, even though I don't generally outline my tattoos. I was one of the lucky ones that that outlining became pretty natural to me. Like, I know that's usually a struggle on like a newer tattooer, you know what I mean? Mm. So I was able to outline things. Where I struggled with was understanding the tattoo machine. Why wouldn't black go in today, but it did yesterday?
Right.
Just things like that. Like, I just had nowhere to turn. I remember my father was a diabetic, and I remember he used to take his insulin vials and he would have to roll them in his hands. You don't shake them because you don't want bubbles to get in it. So because of that, I didn't shake my tattoo ink up. I thought the same thing. I would roll it in my hands, which did absolutely nothing. You know what I mean? So all my colors were really weak and really shitty. You know what I mean? It might have been a part of the reason that I tend to lean towards more shading type of things, you know, because I couldn't put really pat color in very well. You know what I mean? It just was a real struggle. And I would get depressed. I would flip through the magazines and I would see some artist in New York and he was just this beautiful, bright color. I mean, tattooing was so different then. It was nothing like, I would have never even considered tattooing. If I opened a magazine and saw Dimitri Jeez. Today, I'd be like, never mind.
Right.
Right. You know what I mean? So, yep. So there was only a handful of like really amazing, you know, Philip Liu and Bugs was one that I really liked. You know, Guy Atchison was just like really doing different stuff. You know what I mean? Like, biomechanical wasn't really a word. He's like, you know, he was just doing something different, you know? But I would just look at this stuff and I would cut him out and I would just hang him in my bedroom. Just, I would literally cut pictures of the tattoo magazines out and hang him in my bedroom and just wake up to that inspiration and just be like, one day, you know, if one day my client walked in and I was like, oh, how'd that heal up? And it was a Guy Atchison's, you know, if that's what it was, I could die happy. You know what I mean? I just set my sights on it. Like, I'm just one day going to do something like that. You know, I think a big moment for me was getting tattooed by Paul Booth.
Okay.
Getting to watch him work. That really, I'd never seen anybody shade so incredibly smooth before. And, I did go to a lot of tattoo conventions. I was real big on going to the Nationals Tattoo Convention. You know, I'd watch these people like that had been tattooing for 20 years and I just couldn't imagine like 20 years. That's amazing. How do you fucking even do that? You know, and I remember seeing these back pieces be unveiled, especially from like Stefan from France. He would bring an entire entourage of people and all throughout the show before the contest, people would be showing their work and Stefan never showed anybody anything. He just waited to drop the bomb on everybody. You know what I mean? He'd be like, oh yeah, you guys seen everything you think. Boom. And they drop this guy's robe and it'd just be like, you know, you just want to quit tattooing. And, jeez. You know, so this is going to sound super braggy, but like fast forward to a few years ago, I'm invited to France from Stefan himself, literally going to dinner with my hero. And I win the Show to Say award. I'm one of three artists in history that have won this award. So from being this kid that was mesmerized by this stuff to someday eating dinner with this guy and him handing me this incredibly coveted award. I mean, highlight of my fucking career.
Jeez.
You know, I can't even barely say it out loud what that means to me, you know?
I can't imagine, dude.
So that's part of that journey I talk about. Like, you just don't know. You don't know you don't know where it's going to take you, you know?
Yeah.
I love Stefan. I love Cecile, his wife. They are so good to us. And I don't think they'll ever understand the impact that even before the award that his work has had on my life. You know, a good way to explain it is I was at the Nationals Convention the first time I saw his work in person. I walked out of my hotel room. I was just so excited to just even see tattooing, like I'd see real tattoos. Cause again, my town had nothing, right?
Yeah.
I remember walking out of my hotel room and this French guy walked out of his hotel room to smoke a cigarette, had his shirt off. And I saw one of those back pieces.
Yeah.
And it was like getting punched in the face. I was literally, I just wasn't ready to see it. I was like, what? You know, it was this back piece of like, I don't know if you remember, but it was these two little kids. One was the back pieces of, you know, of this two little skinny, I always called them rib cage kids. One kid was tattooing the other kid. And I mean, it looked like a photograph to me at the time. And I just was like, in a million years, I'll never be able to even comprehend how to possibly do that. You know what I mean? And I remember talking to my girlfriend at the time and I wasn't ready to even see this. Like I just couldn't even believe it. You know what I mean? So those were the magical times, man. Yeah. You know, tattoos are it feels like a magic trick. You know, those were those times where it felt like that. It was like my whole life was full of wonder.
Man,
you know,
dude.
It was just, it's just such an amazing time and it never really wavered. You know, because now tattooing is insane and I'm still like wondering how the hell they did that. You know what I mean? Right. And how could I incorporate that into my work without like directly taking from them?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like overseas, the Europeans particularly are just, I mean, my gosh.
Jeez,
you know what I mean? It's just, it's crazy. Like it's really, really insane what Instagram has opened the doors to see. You know what I mean?
And we need those punch in the faces, even when
and
you weren't ready, even if you felt like you were sucker punched.
Yeah.
But those punches in the face, we need them, and we fucking get back up. And I feel like that's a why in the road. So many dudes, they'll get discouraged and either
go
just quit or stay stagnant, quit trying. Like, you know, because whether it's a perfectionist in you, like if you decide I'll never and I can't, some people take that on, believe it, and then just plateau.
But 100%.
Then others, even after you're done fucking wiping the blood away and picking your teeth up, like, fuck, even if that moment you're like, fuck it, I blow ass, never. But then as time goes on, you get back up and be like, I'm getting back in the ring, you know?
And that's when it's exciting. Like, I kind of let myself go through it. I kind of like take the day and I'm like kind of depressed, but I'll track that guy down and be like, how many hours did it take? What kind of needles did he use? Because I wouldn't dare even try to talk to Stefan at the time. I was like so intimidated, right. you know what I mean? Yeah. But I would go through a phase of like almost like depression and then anxiety. And then I would get excited because I was like, no, I'm going to fucking do this.
Man.
I'll fucking be up on that stage one day. I'll fucking be, you know, cause I was just there to be there. I wasn't tattooing there. I wasn't, nobody knew the fuck I was.
Yeah.
I was just there to witness, you know what I mean? This insane, cause there was a renaissance at the time, you know, Paul Booth and Stefan and Bugs, like, you know, Brian Everett and Jack Rudy, these guys were legends. Like, you know, to see a portrait in person when you've never seen a tattoo portrait in person.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mind blowing when you see it. You're like, how the fuck did they shaded the goddamn gums. Like, how did you do that? You know what I mean?
And right.
It was just like so inspiring to me that even was possible.
Yeah.
So I was like, someday I will do that. You know what I mean? And it just became a Leviathan that overtook my life, you know?
Speaking of that, because I remember when I was learning realism, like even like to shade the teeth in the whites of the eyes, like instead of just being all white, you know what I'm saying? Like, was scary. Like, oh, I'm going to take some gray and some tan because these aren't actually all white, you know?
Yeah, people used to make their eyeballs like solid white. Like, they just I've done it for sure. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, what color are teeth? They're white. Oh, shit. That doesn't look right at all. You know what I mean?
Pack it. Now it's like, they're chiclets, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. this is going to be awesome. No, it's not.
Jesus, man, dude, that's powerful. And you did, you just dropped some legends, man. I remember coming in the game and hearing about those legends. I'll never forget, man, when I was an apprentice and I was apprenticing with Brian Brenner, and this was still magazine days, and the phone rang and I answered, it was Jack Rudy. I didn't know who he was, and I was being cool and polite on the phone, but the fact that I had to ask him again, taking the message, who'd you say? What'd you say your name was? Okay, how you spell that? You
know what I'm saying? He's like, motherfucker, I'm Jack Rudy. Yeah,
pretty much, you know. And he was actually cool to me. He could tell he was talking to a moron, you know. But when I told Brenner, he like lit me up, you know, like motherfucker, you know. But it's awesome now.
I remember a really good story from an amazing tattoo artist, Damon Conklin. Love that guy. I've loved his work for so long. But he told me a similar story when he was young, one of his first conventions, also about Jack Rudy, walking around the convention, flipping through portfolios. Jack Rudy's caught his eye because he hadn't really seen stuff like that. Mm. And since he didn't know who he was, he goes, keep it up, man. Keep it up. You're doing good. Keep it up.
Oh, shit. That's fucking great, man. And for all our listeners and viewers, because, you know, it's a common thing. Some people just, wherever you're at, some people are just trying to learn how to tattoo and tattoo good. Others, once they get those foundational basics down, they're trying to either grow towards the style they already know they want to be like, emulate, and, you know, but others are still trying to define a style. Like, Hip's not here tonight. You and I both could agree Hip's a damn good fucking tattooer. And even I'm just using him as an example that he's still trying to figure out, like, what is my style? I mean, so many of us do. Because then you got artists, like, obviously, we know your work hands down. That's why, like, I know if we sat you down and gave you a reference of a portrait, and then we put two other great portrait artists next to you, you're all three doing the same piece. What's going to make one stand out than the other? It's the dynamic, the style, how you leave the background. And that is something that you just do so well.
Yeah, that's an interesting theory. I'd like to see something like that go down, actually, just man. To see, because they're all going to be good.
That's right.
And it's like, what, you know, and then to discuss it, like, what made you decide to do this? What made you decide to push the contrast? That's pretty interesting, actually.
Yeah, man. And I would even, you know, I was going to say, I would join in on that. But if you're doing it, I already know, like, fuck.
Nah.
Well, Josh is going to be cooler. I'm still going to hit it. But your style is already going to take it. Well, even if it's just an inch and a half off the left side of the head, whatever you decide to do, game over. You know, for real.
I remember when I first moved to Oregon, when I first moved back, I went to high school in Corvallis, Oregon, but when I first moved back to Eugene, I was able to tattoo this tattoo artist's wife, and I tattooed a chicken. She wanted a portrait of a chicken, and I was really excited, and it's, I spent all these hours on it, and it's funny because at the very end of it, that just like you said, there's one little, I don't know, somehow Josh signature mark that I made. Mm-hmm. And they were like, that's why I waited to get this tattoo. That little 1-inch piece of the feather fading out. That's what I wanted. And I was like, whew, okay, good.
Yeah.
Forget the 7 hours of the other stuff we worked on.
No shit. Right. Oh my God. You're right. And you remember, especially like around 10 years ago when obviously when realism like really took off and so many more people were doing it, how there was a common background approach, shading that almost looked like tribal hooks, like two hooks going that way. And
like a bear claw or something too, you know.
Totally.
I remember watching an amazing tattoo artist do this and just unbelievable black and gray tattoo. And then I kind of like left and came back to check on it again. And he had done that. He had put what I call the bear claw. And I mean, it was just like, man, you spent 2 hours doing that. And it just took away from the tattoo.
Yes.
Like, you know, and I get that. Like, I know people are like, I know I'm supposed to do a background, but I don't really know what to do. So they'll do one of my pet peeves, which is the halo effect, where they'll kind of shade some gray randomly around it. And there'll be like a little skin halo. And I'm always like, I mean, it's just my own. It's subjective. But I'm always like, that would never happen in real life unless you're maybe being abducted by aliens or something.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I'm guilty of it myself. And I'm also guilty of like just a big black oval. Like now you've closed it off. Like all of the things. If you ever hear me talking shit about an artist, it's only because I've done it myself.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I've definitely made all those mistakes for sure. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's funny. I appreciate you mentioning that because even if not a portrait, like a guy that wanted to do like a white daisy, but it's only this big in the middle of a real estate, like whether it's thigh or one white daisy right here. And they think they need it to pop. So they're going to pack black all the way around.
All the way. Yeah.
And I've always called that selfish tattooing because that dude didn't consider the rest of their body or the next artist coming.
Yeah.
He's just packing black all around so his white daisy pops.
Yeah.
You know, instead of even if it was someone that would just do contrast on even 70% of it, anything but 100% around, to me, not only was cooler dynamic, but yeah, because even considering the rest of their arm someday, one day. And I feel like so many artists don't give a fuck. They're worried about their only piece. Yeah. You're almost blocking out the future.
Yeah.
And now is it full on body art? Because when I think of body art, if I'm looking at an arm, yes, we can focus on executing today's piece well, but are you taking into consideration their whole body, their whole arm for the future?
Yeah, and I think that's likely what, you know, Jeff's attraction to the Japanese style of tattooing was in the beginning, which we're all attracted to. It would be wonderful to see, definitely including myself, to really think about that. It's difficult to talk a client into it, you know what I mean? Like, you know, my daughter is 17 years old and she talks about when she can get tattooed and she talks about getting these little tattoos. And I'm always like, well, someday you're likely going to want a sleeve. And she's like, no, I don't like sleeves. Well, she's 17.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's so hard because they're on that journey we just talked about. They're in that early stages where she's going to look back and wish that she didn't have this white daisy in the way of what could be a beautiful sleeve, you know?
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know how true it is, but I've always heard rumors that if you go to Japan and you go to Horiyoshi, you go to these masters, that oftentimes they tell you what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which I think I'm fascinated by, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would do it too, for sure.
Yeah, right.
I'd be like, okay, let's go, you know?
That's right. Yeah.
But, you know, I think that just like we mentioned before, like just depends on where they're at in that journey of their life, you know, like, you know, you talking about tattoo artists not taking into account other people's other people's full bodies or other artists' work. Mm-hmm. I've also seen people do tattoos and their background, they might have kind of a less quality tattoo below theirs, mm-hmm. and they'll shade their background over it a little bit, even like they'll mm-hmm. actually step on their dick and even like, you know, and it's like, you know, you know, even yeah. if the tattoo's not the best, it's like, come right. on, man, like yeah. go behind it, you know, that's unless right. the client wants you to cover it, of course, right. you know what I mean? But
yeah,
I do try to do that. And I love the aestheticness of the way that, you know, the Japanese tattooing just flows. And it's yeah. so I would love to take what I do and somehow be able to morph it into the quality of what Japanese tattoo artists are doing, like to combine would be amazing. You know, just, it's just, I don't know. Like I get that wonder feeling, like that magic feeling when I see an amazing Japanese tattoo, I'm like, yeah. wow.
Yeah.
Like,
man.
Even though, you know, like I'm a realism guy, but the simplest sleeve with, like, let's say there's a rose and some of the petals are falling down the arm and it's just all windy. And to me, mm-hmm. I'm like, fuck realism. That's the shit right there. That's amazing. Yeah. That's a tattoo right there.
Yeah. You know? I love it. And, you know, in communicating, because it's our job also to educate a client. And what we're really trying to do is consider their future self. Even like your daughter doesn't even know her future self, where she's going to be at. My clients may not know their future self, but I know possibilities of their future self.
Yeah.
And instead of me in it, and I can educate them to also consider that, be open to it. Sometimes that conversation can even spark future thoughts. But regardless, I don't want to block their future self out, at least all the way around. And one analogy I use with them is we do our best to try and know the end of the thing at the beginning, as if we were building a home, you know. Yes, we have to, when we're laying the foundation, but when the foundation is poured and laid, they already know the type of shingles that are going on.
Yeah,
you know, even if the roof isn't coming on your arm for another 10 years, even if you really don't know what kind of roof you're going to get on your house, i.e. your sleeve, we consider that to try and know as much as the end of the thing at the beginning. And if and when we don't, which happens often, then we're at least strategic about the beginning, knowing that it's just the beginning.
Yeah.
To not block it out, you know.
Yeah, well said, for sure.
And helping a client see that, they'll appreciate that, and then understand, wow, you're the artist, you're the visionary, and they'll consider that more. And I just feel like, too, oftentimes, either so many artists don't even think like that or don't even give a fuck. I'm just getting paid whatever to do this daisy. That's what I'm going to do, you know.
Yeah, it's always been interesting to me that there's room for that kind of artist, for sure. There's room.
Totally.
There's absolutely, I mean, I'm super thankful they're out there. It took me a long time to get that. I remember I'd walk up to an artist at a shop I worked at and I'd be like, looks good. And he'd be like, just doing what they want me to do. And I'd always kind of like inside be like, ugh. But like, there's nothing wrong with that at
all. That's right. That's right.
There's nothing wrong with that. And that tattoo still has the power and the magic that we talk about to the client. You know what I mean?
You're
like, not everybody needs to try to break the mold or change the game or be the best portrait or whatever. Like, there's nothing wrong with doing a good, clean, solid tattoo. In fact, I'd say that a good, clean, solid tattoo should be your number one priority.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All the bells and whistles and stuff that I'm going to put on it should be secondary.
You're right.
Always more cake, less frosting.
You're right. And thank you for bringing that up for some balance here, for sure. And it all comes down to the style. Even if we're talking about building a home, well, fuck, there's so many different styles of buildings and homes too.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though kind of like what I think we both love about the traditional the Japanese is their big scale and flow and considering and layering in and out. And but the exception to me of that rule, how I've always thought of designing whole sleeve, is like a traditional, you know, that's to me traditional. That's when it is cool to just have a bunch of stickers all the way up your arm, you know, and then filled in with dots or whatever. And that shit's rad too. It was just so far from what I was drawn to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's people assume because I'm into realism that that's all I like. But if I could go back, I'd get a Japanese bodysuit. You know what I mean? Or I get covered in traditional tattoos. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Mike Chambers, his work, he could tattoo anything he wants on me. Put that shit on my fucking face, man.
Damn.
Like, you know, it's like, you know, part of my journey is the, you know, the older I get and the longer I've been tattooing, the more I appreciate just good old fashioned folky tattooing. You know what I mean? Like, there's, Not only is there nothing wrong with it, it's badass.
Fuck yeah.
Tattoos are badass, man. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't care that you made something look like it's chrome or that it's glowing or even any of the twinkly bullshit that I do sometimes. You just give me a good solid tattoo that you did with integrity. Fuck yeah, man.
You're right. You're so right. And, you know, since we're admitting, because you know, I'll be honest, when I came in the game, now we don't know what we don't know. But exactly. I remember I was so drawn because, again, like when you saw that realism back piece of the boy tattooing the other boy, you weren't ready to see it, it fucking punched you in the face and it seemed like magic. Yeah. How the fuck, right? And so when I came into the game, I was looking for that magic. I remember opening a magazine and seeing like something Saint Mark did or Nico and being like, fuck. Mm-hmm. But what, and I remember thinking, if that can be done, if that exists, why would someone want this Sailor Jerry piece?
Yes, I remember those days too.
Like a bold outline colored in flat like a coloring book. Even though that's cool, now that shit's evolved and you could get it realistic, why would you still? And so I didn't appreciate, I couldn't see traditional. And exactly. I'm admitting that.
It's the same as before. You weren't ready.
That's right. But now I fucking, it's got all my respect, you know, and I think it's real fun, cool too. And maybe even a little cooler since I don't do it.
It makes it even, it makes it even more appreciative, you know what I mean? Because it's something, you know, like I could pull off a traditional tattoo for sure. Like I study it and everything. I had this idea years ago and I started to kind of mess around with it and I wish I followed through and maybe this is something I'll do one day. I wanted to do a whole series where for 30 days, I do something completely different. So for 30 days, I'm going to do traditional tattoos. But I'm going to start with, I'm going to get on a plane and I'm going to fly to my chamber shop and I'm going to just see if I can sit in the corner and shut my mouth and watch him, right? And then I'm going to, maybe we'll go to a diner and eat some greasy food and we'll talk about history of tattooing, all that good stuff that we don't get to talk about anymore because Instagram is just in your face, right? I want stories. I want the real blood of tattooing, you know? But then for the next 30 days, I'm going to tattoo maybe hopefully in his shop or whatever, like, you know, only traditional work and I'm going to learn from it, right? And grow. And so, and then in the next 30 day series, maybe I'll fly to another country and try out another style. You know what I mean? Like tribal tattooing, like what's the real history? How far back does it go? What does this mean when it's on your face? I want to understand more than aesthetics.
Jeez, in
the history of tattooing. Wouldn't that be fascinating?
Yeah, not only fascinating to do, but even fascinating to watch you do.
I just think it'd be so cool, like to go, you know, Boog, rest in peace. You know what I mean? Like he was amazing at lettering. Yep. What an opportunity I missed before he was sick to go out there, get some lettering, watch him do it, you know? I think he would have been amazing. And there's other lettering people and stuff, but like that's another thing. Like all of the things, like, What if you did 30 days of pouring your, you know, because 30 days obviously is not enough to master anything, but pouring every ounce of energy. All I'm doing for 30 days is traditional tattoos, you know, and learning about it and educating. So it'd be like little mini documentaries, right?
Yep.
So every time you watch one, you come out of it and you're like, man, I'm way more respectful of traditional tattooing now.
Jeez.
Josh shined a light on it. You know what I mean? Yep. So. Mm-hmm. I think someday that could be in my future, something I might work on, you know.
Now maybe this might piss some people off, and we're comparing apples to oranges here, but wouldn't you say it's safe to say since you can do realism, with studying do traditional, but it may not be the same flipped. Just because someone can do traditional doesn't mean they could do realism.
Yeah, I think it depends on who you are. So like, you know, I've always had this idea, and now that I'm going to say it out loud, someone's definitely going to steal it, but it'll still be interesting to see. I always wanted to do a traditional tattoo, but I wanted to take a piece of flash, real old piece of flash, photocopy it so I wouldn't damage it. Then I wanted to rip, let's say it's a little ship. I wanted to rip that off of the flash, kind of curl it up a little bit, make sure you can see the little price on it that's written in blue pen, set it on somebody's arm, take a photo of it. So it's a traditional tattoo, but it looks like the flash is kind of curling up. And so there's your realism. So at what point, okay, am I doing a portrait of a realistic, or I'm sorry, a portrait of traditional?
Of a piece of flash?
Yeah. Right. So it's like, okay, so if Joshua Carlton does a really good traditional piece, am I just doing a portrait of that piece, or do I really know what I'm doing? And better than what I'm doing, why it's working. You know what I mean? Like, why does this whip shading look good? Like, am I doing whip shading or am I tattooing it to look like I did whip shading?
Right.
Because, see, I wouldn't be satisfied if I pulled off a beautiful tattoo that looked as good as Mike Chambers which it wouldn't. But I wouldn't be satisfied if I copied it as much as I would be more satisfied if I went, I know how to whip shade this out and get that perfect pepper and get, you know, I know that this black is behind the rose and sets those petals out and left a little bit of skin. Don't you dare put some fucking white highlights in a traditional tattoo, right? So I'm fascinated by this world. I'm just fascinated by all things tattooing. It still gives me that feeling. You know what I mean?
Jeez.
So I would be really interested in the dynamics of how it would work out. And I personally think traveling around after COVID is the way to do it, to sit in the shops with somebody that's been sitting in that same shop, cranking it out day to day for years. I want to learn from that guy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Dude. Man, I love your passion, your hunger. Some I know would call it humility. And yeah, if we want to call it humility because, you know, you're in the upper echelon. And that's what I think is so important for our viewers and listeners to hear. You've always been this way. Back in the beginning, on your own dime, you found a way to travel to Europe to go sit in the corner and watch.
Yeah.
And you learned shit. You built relationships. You networked. And so even in the beginning, you were all alone, didn't have help. By you doing whatever you could, going to look for it, seek it out, and eventually your paths crossed with destiny. The right people were brought into your life, the info, but God knows what you had to do and crawl through just to grab it piece by piece. Yeah. Looking at this magazine and, you know, and awkwardly like looking next to the Playboys, everything you had to do. And some people could say, okay, I see you on that because you were young and hungry. Here we are 30 years later. So many of those early dreams have all manifested, all been fulfilled. When you brought up the magazine, I remember being in Massachusetts watching you win Tattoo Artist of the Year for Tattoo Society magazine. All that has happened. But here, even tonight and in the present day, your passion's still pegged on 10. You're still talking about going somewhere to travel, to learn, and to study, dude. And that's powerful.
I appreciate it. I think for the most part, most tattoo artists have that as well. I've always said it, tattooing chooses you,
man.
You know, because so many tattoo artists are like, how'd you get into it? And they're not generally like, well, I had this passion in this dream. It's like, well, I always drew and a bunch of my friends bought me a tattoo kit because they figured I could tattoo them. Like it kind of finds you.
Mm.
And that's what happened with me. You know what I mean? Tattooing found me. Thank God. I thank God every day that tattooing found me. But, yeah, I just have such a passion for it. Like it makes me giddy. Like even still, like I, you know, I've said it before, but I don't say I have to tattoo tomorrow. I say I get to tattoo tomorrow.
Man.
You know, because it's like, I don't know. It gets old because, you know, it gets old for everybody when people are shoving their phone in your face for this Pinterest tattoo. And and I'm in a very fortunate position that I don't see that too often, but I get it. I get the burnout. Mm. But at the end of the day, like, especially once you find yourself, which we should definitely talk about in the future, that struggle. But when you find yourself and when you can go to work every day and you're like, I do this and this works.
Yeah.
Some of the stress kind of falls away of tackling a tattoo that you're unsure how something's going to work. Right. I'd really try to constantly be learning and growing, but I also like to hang on to, I know that a 17 Magnum bug pin curved and a 5-round liner is going to get me through this.
Yeah.
I know that. So I have those tools that are going to work for me, and those keep me driven and passionate and excited. Even if the tattoo doesn't turn out quite the way I hoped it would, you know, I'm nerdy about notes. Like I'll take notes after my tattoos.
Yeah. Good.
You know, cause I was like, I do want to be my best. And there definitely are times when it's like, well, that didn't work. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know,
right.
That cool thing I saw that Russian guy did. And I'm like, I'm Joshua Carlton. I'm going to do it. Nope. That didn't work. You know? So. I think that just staying in it. And like, if you're a new tattooer coming into the game, I can't imagine what it's like, but man, please take a moment to learn the history. Please take a moment to go by I'm sure it's probably available, the Sailor Jerry book where him and Ed Hardy write back and forth to each other.
Mm.
That's that magic.
Go.
You know, find some of these old books, some of these old, Guy Atchison's Reinventing the Tattoo. Mm. Like, know your history. Like we live in a time where, you know, I'm not saying you have to learn how to build needles and stuff, although I probably think you should just to appreciate it.
Yep.
Use a coil machine from time to time. Take it apart. Figure out why it works. Why did it the thing it did? You know, just, I don't know, there's such an amazing history to tattooing. Not to sound like some old folks, you know what I mean? But like, it's really something special.
It really is.
I don't think we should lose that, you know what I mean? I don't think that we should lose what tattooing had that made you and me want to become tattoo artists. Like, you know, it's not just getting on Instagram and seeing what can be done today. Like, I really hope that people tell stories of Jack Rudy and Brian Everett and those people for a long time. You know what I mean? I hope to someday be one of those people that they you know, man, Josh Carlton, you know, I would love to have that someday, you know, but I really hope that they still talk about the true legends way before me, you know, that, you know, we are standing on the shoulders of giants and it's so important to understand. Speaking of Brian Brenner, I don't know if you remember this, but he went through a phase where he was like, I'm going to get tattooed by all these guys. You know, and Jack Rudy is notorious for being ridiculously late. And that was his first one. I was there when it happened. And he had an appointment on Friday, the first day of the tattoo convention. And with Jack Rudy at like 1 p.m. Jack Rudy didn't show up at his booth, didn't show up. Finally, he saw him and he'd be like, oh, a couple hours. This just kept on going on. Where finally, as they were tearing down Sunday night, he's like, sit down. You know what I mean? So three days later, at like, you know, 11 at night, he gets this skull on his leg. You know?
He said, I think it was all with like a one liner.
It was all a single needle. Yeah. You know, he gets to hear these stories. You know, I remember him saying he did like some kind of smoky stuff. And he was like, you know, hey, you know, you see Paul Booth do this. He's like, I'm the motherfucker that started this, you know, Just to be able to sit in and watch that unfold is something, you know. Brian was on something like, yes, go track these people down and get I don't care if they're not tattooing like today. I don't care. Get a real tattoo from one of these real tattoo artists.
His back piece is like huge, chunky tribal hooks. Like Brian's whole back is just like a big fucking tribal.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. And I got to sit in with Brian on one of those ventures, and of course it was years later, but he was signed up. He was getting tattooed by Tony Olivas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another hero of mine.
Yeah, dude. And of course, you know, I knew he was somebody because, you know, Brian taught me. The funny thing was when I went over to see him, Tony Olivas, man. He's tattooing him. His phone rang with his gloves on. He reaches in his pocket, pulls out his Nokia flip phone, talks. The waitress comes by. He's like, hey, another Budweiser. He grabs the beer, reaches in, counts out dollar bills, all still with his fucking gloves on, hands it her, drinks a beer, grabs the machine, starts stretching. And I'm looking, and Brenner looks at me.
You're like, oh, shit.
I mean, like, I don't even know why you're wearing gloves. You know, the only thing that arc is clean is your hands underneath, you know?
Yeah.
But I remember the look on my face, and Brenner and I made eye contact, and he basically looked at me like, don't fucking say a word. I'm like, okay. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That was that old school, like, fucking.
Yeah, I remember seeing a lot of that. People take a toothpick out. You know, these guys always have toothpicks. You know, they'll take a toothpick out, and they'll be like, maybe you should put a little shading right here. And it's like back in their mouth. I'm like, oh, shoot me now. You know?
Oh, good shit, man. Good shit. You know, something I was wanting to just mention when you brought up traditional, something I've always wanted to see, and maybe it's out there and I just haven't seen it, is what someone to go big and oversized with the traditional. Like most traditional piece, we'll see like what I would call stickers, and that's not to devalue it, but like a bunch of traditional pieces all the way up the sleeve, instead of them deciding, instead of 30 traditional pieces or 10, why not two or three oversized, and your whole arm is fucking sick traditional, but big oversized, like two or three pieces filled. I always think would be awesome.
It would be. I'm guessing the reason you don't see it too much is the history of what the reasoning, you know, the reason people got traditional tattoos. Like, you know, you got to think too, these are people that had just enough money at the time to get a little tattoo. So they're kind of collecting. And that's why the stars would kind of sleeve them out. You know what I mean? They kind of connect everything. I think aesthetically, it would be awesome to have some great traditional tattoo would pull that off for sure. You know what I mean? It'd be neat to see. I love what Hip's doing, you know, taking after Yogi, where he's mixing styles, respecting both worlds. You know what I mean? Yes. I really love that. I think that contrast is so powerful that, you know, Hip did one of my favorite tattoos I've seen in a long time the other day, and that rose he did on someone's head. This tattoo is amazing. If you want to put that up, Mike, in the edit, unbelievable. It actually kind of gave me that, like, woo, you know, that feeling.
Yeah.
And I think you know, you could take almost traditional tribal work, but then you put that realistic of a rose with it, it's going to give you that same kind of power. You know what I mean? So it's interesting to think about mixing these things, you know, like I personally haven't really done a lot of it, but you know, Yogi kills it. And of course, Hip's doing an amazing job with it as well. So
yeah, it's a powerful dynamic change.
It is. It's like, I've noticed when I'm painting or drawing or tattooing, if I start from the bottom and I make it as real as I can, as I move up, that realism versus the stencil lines is powerful. And then as you get rid of those stencil lines, all of a sudden it's not quite as powerful.
Man.
So Hip's creating that, right? By having that, like, super real rose, traditional leaves, you know, it's like, it is very dynamic. I really appreciate that.
And, you know,
and I guess if you think about it, Japanese is like that. That's why I just now thought of this. Sorry to interrupt you.
No.
You got just these beautiful flowers and then you just got black wind bars behind it. It's doing the same thing. That's why that's happening. You know what I mean?
Man, that's awesome. And, you know, when you were saying that, because I know, and especially the dudes I've even had the honor of mentoring, at a certain point, so many people struggle, and you did mention this could be another episode, with finding their identity, i.e. their style, right?
Right.
I mean, and so in that process, which is fucking always evolving, ongoing, they ask questions, even if it's simple, of like, how can I find my style? But when you were talking, I realized, and I have answers to help guide them, but I realized maybe it's real close to, you know how you said tattooing found you? Would you say it's like your styles find you too?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's rare that somebody just is like, I have no idea. A lot of times they have an idea, but they're scared.
Yeah.
I want to do realism, but I'm scared. I want to do traditional, but I've been told if I don't know the rules of it, I'm a punk. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a big believer in just go get tattooed by the person that you idolize. Like, get tattooed by them, right?
Wow.
Like, sit quietly. Don't ask a million questions. Pay attention. You're going to learn some shit, some serious shit. You know what I mean? That's why I got tattooed by Paul Booth. That's why I got tattooed by Denis Savak. Like, you know, I become really, you know, enraptured by this work. And it's like, I'm going to fly. I'm going to save the money, whatever I have to do. I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, if I get just two questions answered, those are two questions that I would have kept myself up at night for years.
That's right. You know? Talk about investing in yourself and you're getting a bitchin' tattoo and maybe even a friendship out of someone you idled, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, I've said it in the past, but I remember when Paul Booth called me, I saved it on my voicemail forever just because I could Paul Booth, it's really him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, he was this, you know, is still this hero of mine, but I never in a million years thought that we would be friends. You know what I mean? And we actually became friends over the years. It's like, you know, and it started with me getting tattooed by him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah, dude. And he's a sweetheart, man. It was at Hell City. He really, Hell City 2 years ago, and I was sitting out there on a smoke break, and I just hear a voice behind me over my shoulder, and it just said, "Can I share the shade with you?" And I was like, "Well, sure." And I turn around, and it's Paul there with his cane, grabs his chair, and he sits down. Dude, Josh, there's probably 70 empty chairs.
Yeah.
He didn't have to come sit right next to me. Immediately, I knew, well, okay, you know, and I sat down, and we just ended up talking. You know, his smoke break was turned into an hour, but just sitting there getting to kick it with him. But I discerned in the first 15 seconds, he had a heart of gold, man. And I just really appreciated that and appreciate him. It was just funny because for years, all I heard about him, people would come in, try and sell us his flash. At Brenner's shop, we had racks of it, you know, all of his great flash. And here we are years later, he's sharing the shade with me at Hell City and we're just golden, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. See, those are the moments in tattooing that I fucking adore. Like to spend that time with him for an hour, like that's where it's at. So like get out when you can after COVID. To anybody that's listening, that's hungry, get out and travel and go see the world. Embrace that tattooing will take you around the entire world. You know, stay after hours at that convention and hang out with those artists that you admire. Like get tattooed, keep filling your sketchbooks up. Don't ever quit. Don't ever give up. Don't ever think that you can't do it because motherfucker, you can.
Man, you know? Come on, dude. I love that. And, you know, for those of you listeners that have read the book, The Alchemist, me and Hip finished it. It's on Josh's list when he can get to it. But it talks a lot about this And it talks about, it calls it like your own personal legend. And when a man and an artist is following his own personal legend, meaning wanting to learn, doing whatever, to travel, sit with your, the whole universe conspires to help you achieve it. The whole universe will move heaven and earth, whatever, for you to meet that artist, get tattooed by that artist, have the honor of sitting in the corner, whatever it is you really want. If you have the courage to first ask and go for it and ask again, even though you may have been rejected, you keep going and the whole universe will meet you there.
100%. I have absolute experience with that. Like, just a quick story. I've been a huge fan of the band The Ataris for forever. Mm. That pop punk, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they were coming to play a show when I lived in Indiana at this little small bar. And my wife was busy, and you know, I don't drive, so I'm like, man, I gotta take a taxi. Like I, you know, it's like, you know what? I'm gonna go to this. I'm gonna meet this guy. I'm gonna meet him and tell him the impact that his music has had on me. Mm. And I go down there and watch the show. Amazing. Just incredible. It brought my feeling back of being young, you know, all these songs I grew up to. Yeah. And sure enough, at the, you know, since it's a bar, I see him at the bar and I'm like, I'm going to go up and talk to him without being nerdy or whatever. And
yeah.
Turns out he was a fan of my tattoo work, and he actually was slightly familiar with me. And we've been friends ever since. And because of that, as you know, I play guitar. I had the opportunity a couple of years ago to become the next guitarist for the Ataris. It's something that didn't, you know, with COVID and cancer and everything, didn't work out. But, you know, we're still friends to this day. And had I wanted to, you know, it looks likely that if I wanted to, this band that I absolutely loved, I manifested to get in this taxi and go meet him. And at minimal became great friends with this guy. He's a wonderful person, but at least to play some music with him, you know what I mean? And it's like, if you would have told me that when I was 16, I would have been like, you're out of your mind.
Yep.
But just like you said, Earth moved the way it needed to move to make these things happen, because I was so laser focused on, I'm going to meet this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like I said, we still text regularly. You know what I mean?
Powerful.
Yeah. And, you know, whether I play in the band or not, it was an opportunity that I had. And that's amazing.
Right. You know? It is. And it's always happening. We're living proof this moment right now that we're podcasting together.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, you are definitely that guy that I was nervous to meet, you know. And if my wife was even told, you know, 10 years ago, out of all the artists I ever talked about, it was you. And she was reminding me, like, what a measuring stick. Now you're friends. Now you're podcasting, you know. So this is true for all of us.
Right. Right. Yeah, so that just shows anybody that's listening, like, if you've got goals, go.
Yep.
You know, let's go.
So good. So good, man. Happy day, man. I wrote down a couple notes here, but I think, brother, we're good. One thing I wanted to touch on is, you know, this thing called fear that can hold us all back, you know.
For sure.
It really does. I'm nervous and all that. But I loved it because a realization that I learned that was brought to me that I constantly get reminded of, because we all face fear, awkwardness. People are so quick to decide, I have social anxiety. Welcome to the human experience. We are all afraid, right? And a realization that came to me was realizing whenever I am afraid, which is often, or nervous to talk to somebody, that the rest of the world too is afraid, and oftentimes even more afraid. And a great example was when you were teaching your first seminar on that ship.
Yeah.
And you're fucking afraid. Like, I hope someone shows. If it's only one, I might cancel, but two, I think I'll be all right. You're fucking afraid.
Yeah,
you show up to a line, a fucking packed house, and you're like, what do you all do? They're like, we're here waiting on you. And guess what? They were afraid, I'm sure, nervous to come meet you.
Right.
You know, even though you might have been afraid, they too were. And when we can realize that, we can just like accept it and realize, hey, okay, instead of me worrying about my fear, since you're afraid of me, I cross over and to try and make you feel safe. You ain't got to be afraid of me. I ain't fucking nobody. I'm here to serve you. And that was a great example of that. And I think this happens daily when we're afraid to try and ask for help or go that next step. You know, I think it's what you're sharing with them is fucking do it anyways. And it's okay. Everybody's afraid to apply this thing called courage and do it anyways. and the magic will happen. You know, absolutely. For people who believe or have ever heard the ancient scriptures that talk about, you know, we are sent a comforter, right? Well, why the fuck would we even need a comforter if we're going to stay stuck in our comfort zone?
Right.
Absolutely. We must step. The magic happens right outside of our comfort zone. That's when a comforter will meet us. That's when the magic happens. That's when you get to meet, you know, to grow and to meet the people you were meant to meet. But you have to step out of your comfort zone. Yeah. The magic is just out there.
Yeah. A lot of people like to think that somebody like myself or other people will get lucky. But man. I think I manifested a lot of that luck myself. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like by being open-minded to yes. opportunities, you know?
Yes.
And so you have to get out there and think outside of the box. Yeah. And, yeah. you know, you don't want to pester tattoo artists. You don't want to write them on Instagram incessantly and beg them for advice. But,
right.
you know,
right.
going and getting a tattoo is a really good way of like getting in that circle, you yeah. know?
And if you gave them great advice, not only to like listen and soak it up and mm-hmm. learn, you know, and I would throw in fucking show them love and fucking bless them, pay them yeah. full price plus a tip, even if they're going to give you the homie hook.
Show up with a gift.
Come on, man.
You know what I mean? You know, when somebody yeah. comes to me and they're like, man, my wife makes these amazing cookies and we wanted you to, I'm going to remember you.
Yeah, right. yep. It yeah. all matters, man.
Yeah.
And speaking of your wife, I think this is the first time you and her might get to actually go out into the world and have dinner.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. As of yesterday, restaurants are at 25% capacity. So
yeah,
even if it's like a diner, I just want to sit down. I think it's been at least 4 months since, you know, we cook at home all the time, which is wonderful. But I just want to sit down with my wife and just like, yeah. like in the old days, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dude. It's time for a date night.
Love it. It really is, man. Josh, this has been good. Thank you for your time,
thank you.
Man. And is there anything you want to leave them with before we wrap it up?
You know, just kind of repeating myself of like, yeah. it sounds like a broken record about like, you can do it. But like, I really promise you can,
yeah.
you know, it's not going to necessarily be in a book out there, you know, on how to be successful and all those things. You know, you just have to start taking those first steps, you know, like, as you yeah. mentioned, fear, you have to understand that if there's something that you really want to do, 5 years is going to be 5 years, regardless of whether you start today or not.
Man.
So you're either going to be back at square one in 5 years, or you're going to be 5 years deep in the dream that you,
that's
that
right.
you had, you know what I mean?
That's
so,
right.
you know, if you're listening to this and you're questioning, I think you posted something the other day that I thought was very powerful
yeah.
and it was, I'm going to mess it up, but it was something along the lines of the thing that you fear is the thing that you need to do.
Yes.
It's something along those lines, right?
And yeah.
I really found that. Like, I needed that. I think it was just yesterday. I was having a rough day. I lost a friend of mine yesterday. I needed that to remind myself to center myself. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And go back on the Tattoo Guardians page and read that.
What it said exactly was the thing you're resisting is the thing you need. And the thing you're holding on to is the thing you need to let go.
Yeah, I think that is incredibly true. Print that out, cut it out, put it on your mirror when you brush your teeth in the morning, because that is absolutely true.
Man, and you know what? A lot of times when I post shit like that, Josh, I'm telling me. It's like what I told
yeah.
myself yesterday, and I thought, well, someone else probably needs this too, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
Absolutely.
So good, man. So, so good. To sum up what you just said too, or to, I don't know. Clarity comes in the doing.
Right.
We're scared to take that first step. We get all the reasons why we're not good enough. Fucking, there's never a perfect time. We just do it anyways, even if it's fragile. I love an old quote that said, speak your mind, and even if your voice shakes, like, and start going.
Yeah,
and clarity comes in the doing. You yeah. know?
And you're going to fail. You're going to
yep.
make mistakes.
Yep.
You know, for whatever reason, people seem to think because I've got 30 years in tattooing that I wake up and I'm just ready. I have questions and I fear, and I have, you know, I make mistakes galore, you know, but I try to learn from them.
Man.
I do try to learn from them. You know what I mean? Whether it's creating a business, whether it's doing a tattoo, whether it's dealing with a client.
Yep.
I do kind of, you know, that's why I take notes, you know,
yep.
like. My wife and I are both really big on note taking and kind of like, you know, a lot of people say, hey, it's okay as long as you had fun. My motto is, it's okay as long as you learn something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you should have fun too, but
yeah,
you know, tattooing sometimes not super fun because it's permanent.
Yeah. Yeah, know? Dude, for sure, man. That's powerful. And when you say note taking, you know, I was envisioning like, even if it was like, especially if they're going to come back, like what colors and stuff in case you needed to, you're setting up for session two. You sure, can look at your notes and see the pigments. Is that kind of what you mean by note taking?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm a grass is greener person too. So I'm always like, what if I ran my machine at this speed or these, if I hang my needles out this far? So if something really works, like, for instance, you've heard me talk about it, like understanding stroke lengths on machines, you know, those note taking of like, wow, this really worked and this gave me this effect.
Love it.
I tend to forget. I'll be like, man, how did I do that tattoo? I was really happy with that tattoo, but did I do anything special? So I started taking notes. Yes. You know, you ran your machine at this many volts and you used a 17 Magnum bug pin, but you had the needles out a little further than normal, or you had them back a little bit normal and hey, my shading was smoother. You know what I mean?
Jeez.
Stuff like that. Just little things that can kind of like remind me, you know?
Heck yeah. Absolutely. Setting your future self up. Like talk about like
the, so the handoff. It's a little easier for my future self. Cause as you've heard me talk about in the past, I shoved everything on a future Josh, like paying bills and shit like that. And future Josh came quick with some shit. So I think I'm a little extra cautious now about future Josh. I want him to be set up.
Yeah, brother. You know? Man, and for I just can just feel it right now. Every tattooer that doesn't take notes just from is now going to.
It helps. Yeah. It really helps. You know what I mean? Like, it's amazing what you can learn to just from yourself. Yep. If you want to get real nerdy with it, everybody has a phone in their pocket with an amazing camera. Set up a tripod and film yourself pretty close up where you can see the actual tattooing happen. Mm. When you get a minute, just go back and watch it and you're going to go, that's why I do that.
You know? I love it, dude. That's powerful. And to take it a step further, because I'm real nerdy about note taking too. But it's never been with that technical shit. What I note take is everything I just learned about my client, what they shared, their heart. I used to be great at remembering. It's just been the past couple of years. And so because I truly care about my people, if they got all the way here, I chose to like spend all day today with you today. I genuinely care, get to know their stories. And I've always remembered recently, I'll note take it. So in the future, when I remember, recall what I've already learned about them, that too, in the art form of building relationships is powerful too.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
little things like understanding, remembering your clients' names when, you know, if you're my client and you come in and I'm like, hey, Matt, how have you been today? That carries a lot of weight.
It really does.
When I used to work in a street shop, when I was the owner of a street shop, we always had this thing where we would enter people's release forms in the computer and their birthday would pop up about, 2 weeks or even a month beforehand. And we'd reach out to them, you know, hey, you're a past client, your birthday's coming up, and give them some kind of a discount on their birthday if they book.
Yeah.
And you'd be amazed at how many people are like, just, they feel like, wow, you actually like paid attention. You know what I mean?
Powerful, man.
Yeah.
Powerful. Man, this has been good. This has been so good.
Yeah. Like I said, it's good to be back for sure.
Yes.
It's good to see some walls behind you there.
Yeah. Those of you who are watching Humble Beginnings, no more studs. There's a real wall up and a coat of paint on. We're coming along here in Ohio.
Nice.
So good, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Man, have a great first dinner date post COVID with your sweetheart, man.
Appreciate it. We'll definitely talk about how it went on the next podcast.
Awesome. Very cool. Guys, all of you listeners and viewers, thanks for joining us on another wonderful episode of the Tattoo Guardians podcast. It's an honor to serve you from our table. Really, all of you, we love you. We want you to win. We're here sharing our hearts and fucking wealth of 30 years knowledge from Mr. Carlton. And like Josh has said before, please write us and give us your takeaways or questions, topics you'd love to hear us talk about, and watch us make an episode specifically for you. We'll even shout you out. Thanks to Brother So-and-so. We're talking about this. We're doing this for you all, aren't we, Josh?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that idea. I love the idea of like, you know, what do you want to see? Who do you want to see on? You know, because of the power of Zoom, we can hopefully get some amazing tattooers, hear some of those stories. I'm honestly really excited about that.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Happy
hit us up for sure.
Absolutely. Thanks for tuning in, y'all. We'll see you next week.
Thanks.